This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, welcoming you to Free Thought Radio. And what you heard is FFRF's new TV spot that we've been placing on national networks. And of course, that was the voice, that was the speech, famous speech by John F. Kennedy.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. And Annie Laurie is finally standing again to do the show. Thanks to all your non-prayers, which were not answered.
Thanks to my physical therapy.
And her physical therapy, her ankle is better, and she's still a little limping, but she's doing great. Free Thought Radio, this show is the weekly production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the country's largest association of atheists and agnostics. We like the term freethinker. And we are a legal watchdog preserving the constitutional wall of separation between church and state.
And this is the weekend of March 31st, 2012. Goodbye, March, and hello, April. Free Thought Radio is podcasting everywhere.
And I can't tell you, we were at the Reason Rally last weekend in Washington, D.C., where there were thousands of atheists there. And I can't tell you how many people came up to us at the booth and said, you know, FFRF had a booth there, that you are regular listeners to Free Thought Radio, mostly through the podcast. And it was really fun to meet a lot of you and from all over the country, from all over the world, actually. And we passed out a lot of information. We met a lot of good atheists and agnostics. And
Tell them what one of the men said to you about wanting to exercise when he saw you.
Oh, well, I forget who he is, but he listens. He said he listens religiously while he exercises. And so he said he heard my voice, and he said, I feel like exercising because I hear Dan Barker's voice again.
And we did hand out literally thousands of placards and clothing decals. They said things like, I'm secular and I vote, and this is what an atheist looks like. And we had a cutout booth, a backdrop with a picture frame that was cut out, and it said, this is what an atheist looks like.
And that was really popular.
It was very popular. Everyone was getting their picture taken next to it. It was a lot of fun. And we'll have a lot of coverage, or a lot of photographs of the Reason Rally, our appearances there on the stage, slideshows of many of the photographs taken by our newest attorney, Andrew Seidel, who's also a photographer, in the upcoming issue of Free Thought Today. And you can look for it at our website, ffrf.org. And we'll be posting more every day on Facebook.
Now, we started our show today with the Freedom From Religion Foundation's new television ad. And we think this is the very first Free Thought ad to be placed on CBS Sunday morning television. That was a week ago, and it was also on the CBS Evening News last Monday. Watch for that same ad tomorrow, and no, this is not an April Fool's joke. Watch for it tomorrow on NBC's Meet the Press, and it's scheduled to run Monday through Thursday on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show. So that's pretty exciting. And what inspired this ad, of course, I think most of you listeners would know, was the notorious remark by Rick Santorum and others who are attacking our secular government.
I had the opportunity to read the speech, and I almost threw up. In my opinion, it was the beginning of the secular movement of politicians to separate their faith from the public square. And he threw faith under the bus in that speech.
And Santorum has repeated that remark, but this is a general trend in our nation of politicians who are competing to see who can diss the Constitution and the Establishment Clause
The speech he was referring to was the John F. Kennedy's 1960 speech when Kennedy was running
as a Catholic and had to, at that time, pledge fealty to a secular government and in order to get elected. And now politicians feel in order to get elected, they have to do the opposite. So we've come a long way the wrong way. But let's wash that idea we just heard about secularism somehow making you sick.
Let's wash that idea right out of my hair.
Right, by listening to, again, our new TV commercial that is airing next week on NBC, has aired last week on CBS, featuring the hallowed words of John F. Kennedy as a candidate in 1960.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
And that was your music, Dan, playing America.
And can you guess who the voice is on there? Those of you who listen to Freethought Radio regularly will know that that is Buzz Kemper's voice. He's our announcer for Freethought Radio and a local voice talent here in Madison, Wisconsin.
And the ad was created for us by John Urban of John Urban Productions, who's a local Madison resident, and he's been very patient dealing with these very highly bureaucratic national networks about how the technical requirements to get this ad to them. But I think it would be fun to tell you a little inside story, which is that we normally play this on Freethought Radio. I hadn't looked at the visual of the ad for a long time, and I sent this email to John Urban. I've got a great idea for a TV commercial. Let's take that opening of JFK's speech and turn it into an ad.
A TV ad, yeah.
And it turned out that at the time that Kennedy was making these remarks, the TV camera pans this audience of rather unattractive white male Protestant preachers
Protestant ministers, yeah.
Instead of being on JFK. So John Urban was very clever the way that he dealt with that stumbling block, and you wouldn't even know it, I mean, when you're watching it.
Because then it goes to actual Kennedy actually finishing the phrase live, so you do see him making that speech.
And also we show this emblematic image, our recreation of the Lincoln penny, with the words "In Reason We Trust" instead of "In God We Trust" is at the end of that commercial. And we'll probably play it one more time because we like it.
Boy, we knew it played last Monday night because we were at the office working and suddenly our phone started bouncing off the hook, all four lines, and they were about 50-50, pro and con. But those of you who called who were pro were so nice to talk to,
yes,
all over the country.
And we'd love to air this all over, to put it on news websites, on other national TV spots. You know, look for it tomorrow on Meet the Press, as we said, and next week on the Rachel Maddow Show. We don't do a lot of requests for money. We don't do pledge drives on Freethought Radio. Maybe we should. But this is one time when I would challenge the listeners of Freethought Radio to support us. You can go to our website, ffrf.org/donate, and you can earmark your donation for this TV ad campaign, and you will help us make a huge difference. These words need to be heard. This message needs to be said, and nobody else is doing this.
By millions of people
we,
to be heard.
We would love your support. We're out there trying to reach the unmasked masses via the mass media, and we're trying to educate the rest of the public, and your help is very vital.
Okay, coming up later in today's show, we're going to talk with Tanya Smith. And she is an Australian. She's an atheist. She'll be calling us from Paris, where she lives now. She is the president of the Atheist Alliance International, which you can find at atheistalliance.org.
Now, we have a lot of news report, and we've had over 600, probably 700 at this point, state church complaints come on our online complaint form at ffrf.org just since the beginning of the year about state church violations where people want our help. Many of them are very egregious, especially the ones in the schools. This one takes the cake. It's a Ten Commandments monument placed on the front lawn of a public school. And this is a school in Pennsylvania. And we're going to listen to
There was a story out of Virginia about it, out of WSLS.
Because we have a lawsuit over a Ten Commandments in a public school in the Roanoke area.
This display in a Giles County high school, no matter how you view it, is the focus of a legal battle. Now a Pennsylvania high school is facing off against the same civil liberties group. Pastor Sean Wilburn was outspoken during the local debate.
If we keep addressing it as any symbol of our heritage, causing the establishment of the religion, we're going down the wrong path.
School administrators northeast of Pittsburgh got a letter last week from the Freedom From Religion Foundation asking them to remove a more than 50-year-old monument containing the Ten Commandments.
Would they say that in the 1860 people said, well, we've had slavery in our country for 400 years? Is that an argument? Tradition? The fact that it has been going on for so long makes it worse.
Pennsylvania administrators say they haven't received any complaints and tell 10 on your side they don't have any plans to take down the text. Board members here in Giles County, they don't plan to back down either. In fact, just last week, they voted 3-2 to add an additional dozen documents to the current display hanging at Narrows High School. But Gaylor says the foundation did receive complaints, just as they did in the Giles case.
It's a Supreme Court decision directly speaking to Ten Commandments in public schools. Stone versus Graham saying, get them out. Move them out.
Well, and, you know, this idea that you would have, this is the Eagles Monument. This is basically an advertisement for Cecil B. DeMille's horrible epic in the 1950s in collaboration with the Eagles. And to put this on a high school, you know, you can't. And it's the Catholic version. There's no reference to a graven image. So it's not even just a biblical edict. It's a Catholic sectarian. So, boy, we are dealing with a lot of recalcitrant public officials who don't care. We are going to talk more about recalcitrant public officials in the state of Pennsylvania on the second segment when we announce our newest lawsuit in Pennsylvania. But let's move on to another egregious violation that we're complaining about in the Knoxville area, Lenoir City, where we have had lots of complaints in the schools. And this is about police patches with the word religion emblazed on them.
Lenoir City officials say they are not removing the word religion from police department uniform patches after a group from Wisconsin asked the city to take it off. The Freedom From Religion Foundation argues this patch is offensive to people who don't practice religion. The spokesperson for the group says the complaint came from someone at the beginning of the year. Now the group is threatening to file a lawsuit against the department if the patch isn't changed. Tonight, the Lenoir City Council talked about the next steps it would take in response to that organization's request. 10 News reporter John Henry was at that meeting. He joins us in the Information Center with more now. John.
Hello, Robin. Tonight, Lenoir City simply said it does not believe those police officers' patches are discriminatory.
Typically, a Monday night here at the Lenoir City City Hall doesn't attract a lot of people.
Do I have a second? Second.
But sometimes, all it takes to pack the seats is something small. A small patch, that is.
It's just a statement.
The controversy all started after the Wisconsin-based group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, sent the Lenoir City Police Department two letters. Both argued the police patch promotes religion.
You just can't do that. The Supreme Court's clear about this. The precedent is there.
But Lenoir City argues otherwise. It says the patch has existed for more than 30 years and has yet to cause any trouble. Mayor Tony Akins said not only would changing the patch cost money, but it would hide the department's mission to protect anyone in the town regardless of the religious beliefs they might hold.
It involves the community and the community as a whole, regardless of a individual or individual's beliefs.
The city feels so strongly, it wrote a letter of its own saying the patch won't go.
That patch has been around a long time.
A decision heralded from City Hall.
We believe that the police have a right to wear the patch.
All the way to a local pizza parlor.
It doesn't bother me at all.
But that likely won't satisfy the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who says the city is forgetting about atheists.
And this alienates them. I mean, you have the police department who's charged with enforcing the laws, violating it.
In the face of a lawsuit, however, Lenoir City's strategy is just to hope cooler heads will prevail.
I would hope that they would look at it and see that we believe we're right.
Well, that's... Now, Robin, if you would like to see the Lenoir City and Freedom From Religion Foundation's letters, you'll soon be able to do so on our website, WBIR.com.
John, thank you.
And that was our attorney, Andrew Seidel, in that story.
And this is such a physical intimidation to see the word religion on a badge. That's what you would expect with the Inquisition. Hmm. You don't expect that with a police force in Tennessee. And, of course, we have another lawsuit in Tennessee. So we may, this one may join it. We'll see. And we do want to congratulate our, we have four staff attorneys, our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, whose letter has persuaded the Kannapolis City Hall in North Carolina just this week to drop vocal sectarian prayer, the prayers to Jesus, for a moment of silence. So reason has prevailed. And this is a very major victory, considering that the city council was routinely praying in Jesus' name to open meetings. And it's a delight to have public officials who actually know something about the Constitution, who read your letter, who understand why we're writing, and don't fight for religion and government, but fight for their constitutional separation between religion and government.
So stay tuned for news about our newest lawsuit.
And then let's listen to that ad again.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers. Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And as promised, we're going to talk about FFRF's newest lawsuit filed just on Monday, last Monday, in Pennsylvania, challenging the House resolution declaring 2012 to be the year of the Bible in Pennsylvania. And we have never had such an outpouring of indignation by our members in a state asking us to sue and asking to be part of a lawsuit. We have 41 named individuals in this federal lawsuit filed Monday in Harrisburg. And I think we have some TV coverage already. I guess this is, ABC 27 out of Harrisburg.
Thank you for joining us. According to the State House, it's still the year of the Bible here in Pennsylvania.
A federal lawsuit is now challenging that. Our Dan Kerrigan's live in Harrisburg. Dan.
Good evening. Well, the group that filed this suit said it's unconstitutional, so they're suing the lawmaker who sponsored it. Now, this House rep said it's definitely surprising.
Rick Saccone, a House Republican from Western PA, says the Bible helped shape Pennsylvania.
Recognizing a historical fact that the Bible has played an important role in our country's history. That's all it is.
Something Saccone argues House Resolution 535 is all about. It's the measure that made 2012 the year of the Bible. It was symbolic and did nothing. It was even called non-controversial and was passed unanimously. But now Saccone, the primary sponsor, is being sued for it.
It's almost laughable because they don't really have an argument.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group that includes atheists and agnostics, says the year of the Bible is unconstitutional. So the foundation wants a federal judge to forbid Saccone, the House clerk, and the House parliamentarian from printing and distributing the resolution, and to rule that state government is not Judeo-Christian. Carl Silverman is a local member of that group.
The House of Representatives basically has forced our hand. Perhaps the year of the Quran, the year of the Book of Mormon. He didn't introduce that. He introduced his religious holy text.
The lawsuit goes on to say Resolution 535 was intended to endorse the theology of the Christian Bible.
It is a request, even somewhat of a demand by government, that if you want to be a full citizen of the United States and of Pennsylvania, that the Holy Bible is for you.
But not everyone sees it that way.
I think it's almost, a play for publicity, but I think it will backfire because, most of the people do believe in the Bible. And even if you don't, you have to recognize that it has played this role in our country's history. That's all it is.
Well, all it is
is... Silverman that went on to save the House basically voted to undo the year of the Bible, that lawsuit would be dropped.
All it is totally unconstitutional. And I guess Saccone has never read the Constitution, which is entirely godless and secular. And this is an affront. And, you know, what a put down.
And the resolution calls the Bible the Word of God and encourages all citizens to read
and
it
and
study it.
And we don't have a state religion. That's what our country was based on, so that we would have neutrality in government.
So stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. After the break, we're going to talk about Atheism International. And you might be surprised what's going on all around the rest of the world as far as promoting free thought and atheism. We're going to talk with Tanya Smith, who's the president of Atheist Alliance International.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we have with us on the phone, she's calling us from Paris, Tanya Smith. Tanya Smith is the president of the international group called Atheist Alliance International. And you can find out more about that group at atheistalliance.org. Tanya joined the board of the former Atheist Alliance, and maybe we'll talk about why it's former, but it's different now. She joined the board in 2010, and she was part of the transition team to establish Atheist Alliance International and Atheist Alliance of America as separate organizations. She was one of the principal coordinators of the 2010 Global Atheist Convention in Melbourne, and I was there, and that was an amazing event. She's been a member of the Atheist Foundation of Australia's public relations team since 2009. By profession, she's an investment banker. She specializes in mergers and acquisitions, and she's worked at a number of global investment banks in Australia and Europe. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Tanya.
Thank you very much for having me.
It was nice to meet you last year in, I met you before. Wasn't I at your house there in Melbourne? Was that you?
You were. I had the privilege of hosting the after party for the 2010 Global Atheist Convention, and yes, it was an honor to have you at my house.
Oh, that was really fun. Yeah, the cheese and the wine and all the atheist celebrities there in your home. But Annie Laurie and I saw you then last year in Dublin.
Yep.
And that was quite an amazing event. And we're going to see you again. I guess next month, this show is airing on March 31st, so April will be in Melbourne again. Tell us a little bit about that, and especially tell us about Germany, which is coming up in May.
That's right. Well, first, there's the 2012 Global Atheist Convention, a celebration of reason in Melbourne, which is hosted again by the Atheist Foundation of Australia. And that is going to be huge, I think. It's probably going to be the biggest ever atheist convention of its kind, which is, you know, just wonderful. There was the headlines of the Four Horsemen. Unfortunately, of course, we won't have Hitchens. And then just an incredible lineup as well. You know, both you and Annie Laurie are speaking, Ian Hersey-Ali, and just a whole list. It's, you know, an amazing list of speakers. And I think it's going to be huge. I'm really looking forward to it. And then, of course, I'll see you again for the 2012 European Atheist Convention in Cologne, in Germany, which is the 25th to the 27th of May. And Cologne is such a beautiful city. You know, for anyone who hasn't been there, it's just a gorgeous place. And there's lovely shots of the city in the promotional video for the convention as well. So
I've never been to Germany except in the airport here and there, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a really, really good place. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you and Annie Laurie will be there, PZ Myers, Rebecca Watson, Taslima Nasrin, and just a whole lot of great speakers. So, you know, fantastic, good opportunity for atheists in Europe to get together.
Now, I think it's quite phenomenal that Down Under, as it is not called in Australia, but other places,
it's called Up and Over.
We still call it Down Under. I don't know why, but yeah, the phrase is well used.
Well, it's such a long plane ride to get there from nearly everywhere, except maybe New Zealand, that it is managing to pull off this coup, this huge convention. They really deserve a lot of congratulations.
Oh, absolutely. The Atheist Foundation Australia did an awesome job with the 2010 event, and I think this one is going to be even bigger and better. And one of the things that was really positive about this one and was controversial about 2010, there's been Victorian government funding to support this event. And I think it's the first time we're aware of that there's ever been government funding for a specific atheist event. And it's under the major events program. And it's because it's a big event that's going to draw people to the state, and it's being funded on an equivalent basis to all other kinds of events. And yeah, a lot of what we do is all about making sure that atheists are actually treated equally with everybody else. So I think that is fantastic. It's going to be a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I can't imagine getting that speaker lineup. It's going to happen too often.
So the government is flying me and Annie Laurie to Australia to talk about atheism then.
I like to think about it like that.
I mean, and when you say the four horsemen minus Hitchens, which is very sad, you're talking about what, Dawkins, Dennett, and Sam Harris?
Yeah, of course.
So we'll be there. And it's a weekend, huge convention. You're going to be there, right?
I am going to be there. I'll be representing Atheist Alliance International, and I'm actually speaking on the Sunday morning, right around when you're speaking as well, actually.
And we're told we don't call it Melbourne, we call it Melbourne.
Melbourne,
yeah. Right.
There you go. That's from a native. I was born in Melbourne.
So tell us a little bit more about the organization, the Atheist Alliance International. What do you do?
Well, we're a global alliance of atheist groups and individuals. We've got members in about 40 countries. There is always plenty of things going on. Our role is to help our members, the other atheist groups in particular, and we also work on projects that get people involved outside their own country, which is usually helping atheists in the developing world. So helping our members varies a lot. It just depends on what they need. We get a pretty constant stream of requests for advice and contacts from groups who are right at the start, people who are just trying to get an atheist group established. So just in the last 6 months or so, we've responded to people in Nigeria, Kenya, Pakistan, Israel, Lebanon, and the Caribbean about new groups. For groups that are up and running and they've got campaigns or petitions, we can help them out with global publicity or advice. We get all sorts of requests. Someone described us once as a bit of a global atheist consultancy, which I thought was pretty good. We get funding requests from groups to support events like conferences or lectures or schools. So obviously we take a lot of time in assessing those and supporting projects. And like FFRF, I expect we get a lot of queries about atheism from the public, from ranges from people who aren't really querying them or preaching, to questions from people who are doing research, people who are looking for how to find certain information about atheism. Obviously, there's a convention program that we mentioned. And we run projects, like I mentioned, to get people involved in supporting atheists in the developing world. So, for example, we support a humanist primary school in Uganda. So we help them with fundraising campaigns. We facilitate student sponsorships and support for teacher salaries. We campaign on behalf of atheists around the world, like Alexander Ann, who you might have heard is an Indonesian man. He's in jail facing blasphemy charges for posting God does not exist on Facebook. So there's things like that. We've also just recently applied for consultative status with the United Nations and the Council of Europe because we want to get ourselves more formal options to make sure that the atheist voice is being heard at the international level. So we do lots of stuff. like most atheist groups, there's always more to do than you've got time to do, but it's certainly many and varied.
Pakistan, I got an email from the Pakistan people. How open can they be in that country?
I think the answer is not very open. The group started originally as a Facebook group, and then last year they wanted to officially launch an online community for people in Pakistan. And one of the things they asked us for help with was contacts with other atheist groups in heavily religious countries to get some advice and some tips on how to do things and to be safe. And so we put them in touch with a few groups who they had conversations with. And I think almost all of them operate under pseudonyms, which is, it's an awful situation, but, when we get emails, and you probably get them too, from people who say, it's in my life, my career, my family, my friends, I can't be open about being an atheist, and you can never tell someone to put themselves in harm's way. Yeah, sometimes people do just have to be quiet, and it must be awful for them. And I hope that these groups, you know, it's fantastic what the Pakistani Atheists and Agnostics are doing. I hope these groups can at least provide a sense of community and support for people who are in a really difficult situation.
Now, if somebody wants to come to the Melbourne Convention, are there still seats?
There are still seats, and they've actually just started selling Sunday-only passes. The dinner's sold out and the gold passes are sold out, but I think you can still get a weekend pass, and you can definitely still get a pass just for the Sunday on the balcony.
And then there's, there's the European convention coming up in Cologne. Maybe we should...
In Germany.
We should talk about that in the next segment. So I'm Annie-Laure Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're talking with Tanya Smith, who's the president of the Atheist Alliance. You can find out more about the group at atheistalliance.org. And there's still time to sign up for the convention, the European convention in Cologne, Germany. Stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Tanya Smith.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie-Laure Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're back continuing our talk with Tanya Smith. She's Australian. She's in Paris right now, and she is the president of the Atheist Alliance International.
And Tanya, we were going to talk a little bit more about the upcoming 2012 European Atheist Convention, which you were telling us is in a lovely city, Cologne, Germany. What are the dates of that?
It's the 25th to the 27th of May.
And we...
So I think that's going to be a really, really good event. I mean, there's a lot of big name speakers that I mentioned earlier, but and also a lot of other speakers who you might not necessarily have heard of. One guy, a guy called Valentin Abgotspon, which I've probably said wrong. I heard him speak in Oslo last year. He's a teacher, and he took a stand about... when he was told that he had to display the crucifix in his classroom, and he ended up being fired.
Is this
and
in
he's
Germany?
A really good, in Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Yeah, and I heard him speak last year. He's a really good example of a, you know, sort of quote, ordinary person. I mean, he's not famous like you two or Pezzi or Taslima or Rebecca, and he could so easily not have done what he did and just fumed in silence, but he didn't. And it takes people like that, people who maybe don't have the profile to stand up in their daily lives and push the kind of atheist and secular issues that we all care about forward. So he was a really great example of hearing a story from someone I hadn't heard of before, and I'm really curious to know what happened next, actually, with him. So I'm really looking forward to him speaking as well.
So we have a lot of state church issues going on in Europe, is that right, still?
Yeah, I think there are still quite a lot. It varies a lot from country to country. I know in Germany they have this system where people... almost compulsorily pay an extra tax through their wages into the church, and you can opt out of it, but, you know, sort of apathy and things, and a lot of people don't. So there's sort of a, you know, state sponsorship of religion, and there's been issues in Italy, for example, where apparently the Italian government has finally got around to asking the Catholic Church to maybe pay some taxes on some of the properties that it has.
Yes.
And these aren't even the ones that are the churches. These are just the commercial properties.
Yeah, that was a huge development. But I know there's been cross cases in Germany, in the public schools, and in Italy. I hadn't heard of this one in Switzerland, where kids are being exposed to crucifixes in their public classrooms.
Yes, well, he was saying in his talk that, you know, he took it and he took it down and he put it in the cupboard. I mean, he didn't destroy it or anything. He just put it away, and then he'd come back the next day and it was up again in his classroom, and he just refused, and he ended up getting fired. And I think when I heard from him last year, he was going through the process of a case for unfair dismissal. So
was this in the,
hope that he won that one.
Was this in the French, German, or Italian part of Switzerland?
I think it's the German part, I think.
Really?
I think, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But,
because, you know, here in the United States, we're so envious that free thinkers and free thought leaders are sort of so envious of the reputation of Europe as being so secular and such a typical way of life in much of Europe. But you still have a lot of these state church entanglements because of this, they're growing out of the state religion.
Yeah, there's a huge amount. I mean, there are official state religions in a number of countries, which obviously you don't have in the U.S. And there are still a lot of issues being fought. I think education is a really important battleground because there are a lot of faith schools throughout Europe.
That are being public subsidized.
Exactly. And yeah, I think that's a real issue because certainly seeing some of the issues around integration of Muslim immigrants here. And faith schools are just a division. They're a division whether they're Christian or Muslim or any other. But what they do is they segregate children on the basis of the religion of their parents. And it just doesn't promote a broad, pluralistic, tolerant kind of society to do things like that. So there are an awful lot of issues here. There's still the huge issue of state subsidies, effectively, for religion through tax exemptions. And we're in, I'm sure you've all seen about the European debt crisis, and you've got every country here trying to have austerity measures and so forth. And there's such an obvious one. I mean, religions are wealthy groups, but even if they weren't wealthy groups, in principle, why on earth are we funding
they could sell some of the artwork at the Vatican, and they would they'd get something for that.
Oh my gosh, the opulence, the over-opulence, I think it's disgusting, actually.
So is there a, there must be a webpage for the convention in Cologne that's coming up.
There is. You can go to ibka.org, which is the website of the host, IBKA, and follow the links to the convention. It is both an English website and a German website. So for us monolingual English speakers like me, you'll be fine.
It's ibka.org.
But you could probably Google 2012 European Atheist Convention. It's called the Atheist Perspective in Our Futures, National, Regional, Global. It's 25-27 May 2012 in Cologne, Germany. And we'll be very glad to see you there, to see you at two international events. We're speaking with Tanya Smith. And Tanya, what else is going on there in Europe, or what else is AAI?
Well, don't forget about the Philippines. We got to squeeze that in.
Oh, sorry. Well, why don't you do that?
I'm going to see you again in the Philippines for their, I think it's their very first national conference, right?
It is. It's going to be great. I mean, there's this amazing spread of atheist events around the world. I mean, it's really taken off in the last couple of years. And the Philippine Atheist and Agnostic Society is hosting the first atheist convention in Southeast Asia. You're right. It's Saturday, the 21st of April in Manila in the Philippines. I will be there representing AAI. Dan will be there. Other people will be there representing the IHEU and lots of other different groups. I think it's really fantastic to see atheists getting organised. I mean, we do get a lot of inquiries. I mentioned earlier about people wanting to start up new atheist groups, and it's everywhere from Kenya to Canada and Indonesia and Ireland and the Philippines, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's actually, now that Malta finally changes divorce laws, the Philippines and I think the Vatican are the, if you even count the Vatican, are the only two countries in the world that still don't have legal divorce.
Really? I didn't realize Malta had changed. So good for Malta, because that's such a Roman Catholic country. But now the Philippines are just enmeshed in Roman Catholicism. They have a lot of problems. There's no divorce. I'm sure there's hostility to gay rights. Is there access to contraception in the Philippines?
I think it's very limited. I remember seeing a report recently. The government, or some sections of the government, I should say, was actually trying to put forward a proposal to give very subsidized, or even maybe it was free contraception to women, and it was being strongly opposed by
That's
the Catholic
right.
Church,
and of
as
course,
you would expect.
I'm sure no abortion, probably no sterilization.
No, and they have horrible stories, of course, of what happens when you ban abortion. Women still have abortions. It's just they're unsafe abortions. And so there are horrible stories of women dying, women being severely injured, made infertile. And, of course, the fetus dies as well, usually. So it's not even like these allegedly pro-life people are getting what they want out of the situation.
Well, and then the terrible overpopulation problems in this
archipelago
of limited resources.
It's a very poor country. They have very big families, and not surprisingly, on average. And all the flow-on effects about women not being able to get a proper education if they get pregnant when they're too young, not finishing their education, not going on to be productive members of society in the workforce, and just, you're right, getting trapped in a cycle of breeding is, you know, a very good way to guarantee that people stay in poverty.
What will the language of this convention in Manila be? Will it be English?
It'll be English, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Spanish.
English.
But when I greet you there, it'll be my first visit to the Philippines, actually. I will say, Magandang araw to you, which is...
Oh, excellent. You've been practicing.
I know that one phrase in Tagalog.
Tagalog, I didn't know how to say that.
So I'm going to have to learn a few more phrases. Magandang araw. But I have
That's
to tell you, the
good.
Filipino atheists, they're really, really excited. They're smart, they're organized, and this is a big deal for them.
Yeah, I agree. It's really a focal point and a rallying point. And look, I really hope this is a huge launching pad, and they've done a great job for a group that's only started a couple of years ago. To get together and organize a convention with a couple hundred people in the Philippines is, you know, no mean feat. And I really do hope it's a big step up for them. What we saw in Australia a couple of years ago after the first Global Atheist Convention was it really made a difference to the AFA. It massively raised their profile, their membership, their coverage. The group was invited to present to a Senate committee in the year after the convention. I think the convention had a lot to do with that. It very much raised their profile, and I hope this does the same thing for the Philippine group. I hope it does the same thing for the German group, even though that one's been around for longer. It's really, really important, as you know, that atheists get together and get organised because it is the only way to be effective. And conventions are a very good way to get like-minded people together, get the enthusiasm up, and really focus people on what needs to be done next.
Well, people can Google 2012 European Atheist Convention, and how do they find out about the Melbourne Convention?
The website is atheistconvention.org.au.
And your group is atheistalliance.org, which probably has links to all of that as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tanya. We've been speaking
with Tanya Smith, and now we need to thank our
producer and our engineer, Dave McCann, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. A little bit of Beethoven here in the background. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. For more information, go to ffrf.org/radio.
And we invite you to join FFRF at FFRF.org. You can phone 1-800-335-4021. The April issue is almost out. There'll be lots of Reason Rally coverage. You can get a free sample by going to FFRF.org. And we invite you to help us with our new ad campaign to restore respect for the constitutional principle of separation between church and state. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.